Red Line.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and its weekend program, The Red Line, with me, Andrew Kripko.
And Sergei Strokhan.
Welcome to today's program, and this is what we want to highlight as the news-breaking stories of the week that proved to be extremely tense, dramatic, and controversial. The downing of Su-24, a Turkish stab in the back. Russia's Su-24 was shot down by a Turkish F-16 fighter in a move seen as the largest military provocation after the Cold War and a desperate attempt to prevent Russia's rapprochement with the West. François Hollande, French umbrella for the anti-terrorist front. French President François Hollande made a hectic effort to forge a new anti-terrorist coalition against the Islamic State in an unprecedented diplomatic marathon shuttling between the leaders of Britain, the U.S., Germany, Italy, and finally, Russia. And also, Vladimir Putin in the land of the Ayatollahs. Russia's President Vladimir Putin paid his first visit to Iran in 8 years, with both sides catching up on the new opportunity to boost bilateral trade and calling on world powers not to impose their external solutions on Syria. So let us come to our first section, Beyond the Headlines, to speak about Turkey's treacherous downing of Russia's anti-terrorist aircraft. Russia's Su-24 was shot down by a Turkish F-16 fighter in a move seen as the largest military provocation after the Cold War and a desperate attempt to prevent Russia's rapprochement with the West. Turkish officials accused the Russian jet of violating the airspace, alleging that they had warned them 10 times over a 5-minute period to stop, despite their own radar indicating that the two supposed violations would have been no more than a handful of seconds each, if they even occurred. President Putin labeled the attack a, quote, stab in the back carried out against us by the accomplices of terrorists. And Prime Minister Medvedev said that Russia has evidence that certain individuals in the Turkish establishment have direct ties to ISIL's oiling smuggling racket.
Obviously, this is stab in the back. Let us face it. And I think this is appropriate explanation of what actually happened. This is stab in the back of Russian-Turkish relations, and this is stab in the back of forming anti-ISIS coalition. Well, I think, Andrew, that betrayal is always shocking, be it relations between people or relations between states. And I hope all of us would agree that none of us could have imagined that just a few weeks back when we've seen President Erdogan visiting Moscow, shaking hands with President Putin, unveiling the mosque, that the things would turn that way. Of course, we disagreed, strongly disagreed, and we still strongly disagree on Syria. But is it the way just to voice, to manifest your disagreement in such a, I would say, subversive, insane way? Obviously, that was a pre-planned provocation. Of course, experts may argue whether the Russian plane technically violated Turkish airspace or not violated Turkish airspace, but every military expert would explain you that even if such incidents are happening, there are many other ways just to prevent them, just to reprimand, to send a letter, you see, like that, not to shut down the plane. Then another question is, okay, they have shot down the plane. Was it attacking Turkish citizens? No, it was attacking terrorists. Then if you shoot down the plane which is attacking terrorists, then what sort of leader you are? On which side of the barricades you are? Of course, what we see today is just Russia's reaction, which is strong. It's very good that Russia is not showing that it will be involved in any way in military standoff with the Turkish. Thanks God, no. But we are responding. We are responding in a strong way. There are many ways just to respond and to show Turkey that there will be a cost. That already there's a cost in the economic field. Of course, smashing windows in the embassies, you know, just attacking Turkish civilians, this is not civilized way and this will not happen, hopefully. But we will show Turkey that it has to think over how just to restore relations, if it is still possible.
Yes, it needs to take ownership for what it did. So let's discuss this topic to our in-studio guest, Mr. Kirill Koktish. He's the associate professor at the Moscow State Institute of International Relations. Hello, Mr. Koktish.
Hello.
Hi, so with everything that happened, I mean, we're all shocked, of course, but what do you think the fallout of this will be? I mean, who really is hurt more by this in the long term, Turkey or Russia?
Well, first reaction, of course, is shock. But if you'll count the consequences, we should agree that such a movement, such a sharp decisions that Turkey made could be made only under a sort of hysteria. Because Erdogan tried, if we'll touch the internal Turkey problems, Erdogan tries to push through the parliament the constitutional reform, which would make the presidential post main instead of the prime minister post that Erdogan occupied earlier. So he needed votes and he needed support of the radical part of the parliament. And this movement was...
So you mean to say that the roots are in domestic political situation? First, that's a sort of an act of despair or whatever.
Yes. Erdogan needed to get a support of the right wing of the political sector.
At the expense of the relations with Russia.
He didn't think, of the price of the matter. Actually, he expected this will be Avan movement, and nobody expected that Russian response would be hard. Secondly, Erdogan was sure that NATO would support him. He was sure that he can act like a boy in the yard.
Absolutely. But actually, that didn't happen.
But actually, this didn't happen. NATO distended, and in the very first statement of NATO, there was clear understanding that NATO perceives the situation like a mutual Turkey-Russia problem, but not of the NATO problem. And, of course, this is a hard problem for Erdogan because he expected the situation would be developed in a very different direction. Now he found himself to be alone.
Yes, this is very interesting. And right now we have a guest in the line who can tell us a little bit more about this. That's Mr. Ali Risk. He's an independent Middle East expert based in Beirut.
Red Line.
Hello, Mr. Risk. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for coming on the program. As our in-studio guest was just discussing, it seems as though Erdogan had a severe miscalculation, thinking that NATO would support him, but they seem to be wanting to have their distance. What do you make out of this, and what position do you think Erdogan has gotten himself into by shooting down the Russian anti-terrorist aircraft?
Well, the regional reaction is that Erdogan made a colossal mistake. That's generally the reaction. Erdogan, of course, the Turkish president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, pinned his hopes, as I think one of your guests mentioned, on NATO intervening. Of course, that was a big miscalculation. NATO is in no process, of escalating. It was clear, I think, from the beginning, the NATO Secretary General, just after the incident of the downing of the Russian airplane, quickly called for calm and non-escalation. In addition to the fact that, if you noticed, there was a White House official who, according to the Reuters news agency, also said that the Russian plane was down in Syrian territory, not in Turkish territory. So whether it be NATO or America itself, which is the leader of NATO, there doesn't appear to be complete support of Turkish policies and of the Turkish step, despite the fact that you heard President Obama say that, Turkey has the right to defend itself. If you look at the very essence of the Western stance, it isn't completely supportive of what the Turks did. So based upon this, people in the region are saying, as I said, that Erdogan made a mistake. One Iranian source told me that what he did was push Russia more and more in line with the Iranian position and support of President Bashar al-Assad. Now, before we were cut off, I also mentioned to you the French stance. It appears that one of the results of François Hollande's meeting with President Putin is that France is edging closer to the Russian position, which recognizes that the Syrian army itself has to be part of the fight against ISIL. I told you of the comment made by the French Foreign Minister, Laurent Fabius, who just said that France is looking into the Syrian army playing a role in fighting ISIS. So the result of all of this appears to be that some important NATO countries are edging closer to the Russian position. I'd also like to point out here to the comments made by the British Prime Minister, David Cameron, who also said that there must be more cooperation with Russia and Iran. So all of this, I think, is completely contrary to what the Turks had wished to take place as a result of this incident, as a result of the step of downing the Russian warplane.
Yes, well, if you'll just stay on the line with us for one moment, Mr. Risk, we have another guest online with you. He's a military analyst. His name is Mr. Yevgeny Buzhinsky. He is a retired lieutenant general and vice resident at the Peer Center.
Red Line.
Hello, Mr. Buzhinsky. How are you?
Yes, hello. Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for coming on the program. Can you tell us more about the military aspect of what's happening and about Russia's reaction with S-400 missiles and cutting off military cooperation with Turkey? What does this all mean?
Well, the Russian response to this act of violence, the act of, I don't know how to characterize it, but it's not an accident, of course, because it was a predetermined action by the Turkish political leaders. So if the president of Turkey wanted to somehow reduce the intensity of Russian airstrikes, and especially Russian airstrikes against the illegal trafficking of oil to Turkey, then he achieved the contrary result. The intensity of the Russian airstrike will be increased. The anti-aircraft system S-400 and naval system on board of Moskva cruiser will be deployed in Syria, and the number of aircraft will also be increased.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the timing of this stab in the back. I mean, do you think it was linked to President Erdogan's diplomacy and trying to assemble a grand anti-terrorist coalition?
I think so. That's correct. Because, well, we know about the contradictions between Turkey and Russia, and between Turkey, by the way, and some Western allies. Definitely, ISIL is not the enemy of President Erdogan. The enemy number one are Kurds. Enemy number two is President of Syria, Bashar Assad. I wouldn't say he's a friend of ISIL, but he is not definitely an enemy of ISIL. Just very neutral relations between Turkish leaders and ISIL.
We're moving over to another guest right now, and I'd like to welcome Mr. Bilgehan Öztürk. He's an expert at the SETA Foundation in Ankara. Hello, Mr. Öztürk. Thank you very much for coming on to our show today.
Hello. Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome. I wanted to ask you about the possible economic consequences of any disruption of ties between Russia and Turkey. I mean, we're not looking at who's to blame here. We're just analyzing what's coming next. What do you think can happen with the deterioration of ties? I mean, how will this affect Turkey?
Well, I mean, we all know that this is a very serious incident, and it will have serious consequences. And now we've started to see the bits of what can happen from now on. And, you know, official statements from Russia indicate that, I mean, the grand project, which I plan to, you know, realize in Turkey, might be affected in a negative way, such as, you know, upgrade nuclear plant, which is, you know, planned to, you know, build in southern Turkey. And, you know, the Turkish situation, another great project to, you know, carry the Russian gas to Europe is to, you know, come under, you know, restrictive measures. These are, you know, quite serious indications about what can happen from now on. We can say that, you know, because of the seriousness of the issue, Russia will want to, you know, take any chance to make Turkey to pay for this. I mean, we can see that, you know, the 29 businessmen taken into custody in Moscow at the moment on the charges that they visited, you know, Russia without a proper visa. These are quite, you know, obvious indications about what can happen from now on.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to ask you about NATO's response, because in public, you know, the United States and NATO have been supporting Turkey, but it seems as though they're trying to kind of keep Turkey at arm's length. And Reuters had reported that a White House official, an unnamed official, said some things that contrasted with Turkey's narrative, with what one would expect to also be America's narrative. So what do you make out of the West's reaction to this? And is it kind of surprising to Turkey, do you think?
Well, I mean, first of all, there is nothing for NATO to intervene in this crisis. As you know, as we heard the statements from both NATO and you know, United States officials, that, you know, this is an incident between Turkey and Russia, and, you know, there is no reason for NATO to intervene. If Russian, you know, air forces or any, you know, Russian armed forces made an aggression into Turkish territory, that would be an, you know, interest of NATO or, you know, other allies. But this is simply a, you know, violation of aid space. That is why NATO would not want to intervene in any sort. But, you know, if you look at the, you know, the political tune of the statement, then of course both U.S. and other Western NATO allies are backing Turkey's thesis, let's say, because they said, yes, we heard the, you know, warnings of Turkish pilots to the Russian aircraft, and that is why Turkey has the right to defend its borders and its airspace. This shows the solidarity, but of course, U.S. and, you know, other Western allies have certain differences and divergences with Turkey over the Syrian issue in low level.
Okay, well, thank you very much for this very comprehensive explanation, Mr. Oztürk. So thank you again for coming on to our show. We appreciate it. Right now, we're saying goodbye to all of our guests and thanking them for participating, beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Kirill Koktish. He's an associate professor at the Moscow State Institute of International Relations, Mr. Ali Risk, independent Middle East expert based in Beirut, Mr. Yevgeny Buzhinsky, retired lieutenant general and vice resident at the Peer Center in Moscow, Mr. Bilgehan Oztürk, expert at the Seta Foundation in Ankara. Following in our program, we have François Hollande, French umbrella for the anti-terrorist front, and Vladimir Putin in the land of the Ayatollahs. Stay with us.